Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So, Oscar time has rolled around again. There seems to be something interesting going on this year. It's been quite a while.
I love the world. I'm so happy. Thank you.
In fact, they say nobody even watches the Oscars anymore.
May I have the envelope, please?
Because the yearly ritual has had a kind of stale, business-as-usual atmosphere.
The winner is...
Even at its best.
I almost opened the envelope too soon because I'm so excited.
Years ago, there was more controversy at the Oscars. In 1999, some people protested outside the awards ceremony when Ilya Kazan was given an honorary statue. They urged people inside not to stand up for Kazan, who famously named the names of some of his colleagues during the McCarthy period. He got his prize from Martin Scorsese.
This poetic realist, this angry romantic, always spoke fervently to almost basic conflicts between races and religions, classes and generations, men and women.
Decades before that, in the 60s and 70s, the Oscar telecast was the backdrop for all kinds of shenanigans. There were pranksters and streakers.
You think that probably the only laugh that man will ever get in his life is by stripping off and showing his shortcomings.
And in those days, some people actually enjoyed boycotting the whole thing. When he won for Best Actor in 73, Marlon Brando made Oscar history by sending a messenger in full Apache garb.
Hello, my name is Sasheen Littlefeather. I'm representing Marlon Brando this evening, and he has asked me to tell you that he very regretfully cannot accept.
He declined on the grounds that Native Americans had been unfairly depicted in films. But that was a long time ago. Finally, this year, there's a substantive battle that seems to have people engaged again. The Best Picture contest between two films that are opposed in every way. Big budget versus small budget. Escapist versus realistic. Huge moneymaker versus modest box office. Its own little culture war. Commerce versus art. And what's interesting is that it goes back to the beginning of the whole contest, at the end of the silent era.
There's always been this dichotomy between art and commercial success, and Hollywood's never really been able to paper that over, although they tried to in the first year.
Daniel Egan is a critic and author whose new book, America's Film Legacy, looks at landmark movies listed and preserved by the National Film Registry. At the very first Oscar ceremony in 1928, he reminds us, they gave two prizes for Best Picture, one for production values and one for artistic merit. Even then, they knew. The award they called Best Production went to William Wellman's silent extravaganza, Wings.
It was gigantic. It was a World War I aviation picture with dozens of airplanes that they crashed. It had Clara Bow in her underwear and topless. It had everything they could throw at you. It was tremendous.
The other Best Picture prize, the one they called Unique and Artistic Production, went to F.W. Murnau's Sunrise, a magical, silent masterwork, which is on everyone's list of the 10 best films ever made. Sunrise was more of a poetic film, on a human scale. The story of a country man who is seduced by a city woman and the potentially tragic complications that ensue. So, in that year of the first annual Academy Awards, both art and commerce triumphed. But that was the first, last, and only time they split the award in that telling way. That same year, 1928, the very first Oscar for Best Original Screenplay was awarded to Ben Hecht, who had a few things to say about art and commerce. They used to refer to Hecht as, of all things, the Shakespeare of Hollywood, because he wrote or contributed to so many hit screenplays, credited or not. Among them were The Silent Underworld, his 1928 Oscar, and then a series of classic talking pictures, including The Front Page, Some Like It Hot, Gone with the Wind, Gunga Din, His Girl Friday, Spellbound, Mutiny on the Bounty, and about 60 others. But by the late 50s, the art-commerce dichotomy was getting to Hecht. He was so bitter and frustrated, he could hardly contain his fury.
The young directors who are interested in the film as an art are the ones that are burying the industry.
This is Hecht raging on tape in 1959.
There is no art to the film, and never was, any more than it is to making toilet seats or sausages. It's a commodity for mass consumption, and out of 90 pictures, you'll get two or three that have any adult quality to them. They're platitudes strung together, repetition of plots. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, for instance, made pictures only for the dummy streak in human beings. That's a streak that makes a man stand watching somebody else dig a hole. Metro is still...
That tirade was recorded more than 50 years ago, and a lot has changed, but not the art-commerce dichotomy. That still stands in bold and compelling relief, especially this year. Choose your side. Everyone else is doing it. Are you for the highly commercial, the new, the fantastic, or the authentic, the relevant, the real? After all, there's only one prize for Best Picture.
Well, in terms of filmmaking, I would give it to Avatar. I have no question about it.
Daniel Egan.
That's a film that's really been thought through. Whether you agree with the little blue people or not, or his sort of pre-industrial utopia, as a film, it's really well made. He used technology in a way that doesn't overpower you, but adds to his story. I mean, he's a great filmmaker.
I didn't like Avatar very much.
Andrew Saris, who's writing regularly for the magazine Film Comment.
I think you're either for Avatar or you're against it. I just don't buy this idea of an animistic paradise, you know, where you have blue people, hyper-thin and with tails. I mean, as a futuristic, idyllic paradise, like most idyllic paradises, it's very boring.
Hurt Locker.
Catherine Bigelow thinks she's saying something about the Iraq War when she really isn't. All she's doing is setting up situations that have been used many times before in film and adding an artistic veneer to it and then pretending that she's giving you something illuminating.
I think that's one of the best films made about the Iraq War. I'm rooting for his ex-wife to win.
So this is the pitch. A husband and wife break up. Both make movies. Suddenly, they're vying for the Oscar, only the roles are reversed. The fantasy movie with the blue people is by the man. The tough, unsparing war film is by the woman. As art or as commerce, even Ben Hecht, the Shakespeare of Hollywood, couldn't have written it any better. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.